Osego Sigoli Ani, and welcome to Compelling Conversations. I'm your host, David Moses. You're listening to 100.3 FM, the voice of the Grand. May continues to be Community Awareness Month on Six Nations, and on Monday, May 15th, it was the Lands and Research Open House, where people had the chance to stop in, enjoy some food and entertainers, as well as receive updates on the continuing Six Nations of the Grand River Band's litigation. With the intervenors' proceedings having finished up on Friday, May 12th, in Toronto, CKRZ took the opportunity to speak with Lands and Research Director Lonnie Bomberry about next steps in the litigation that Six Nations is bringing against the governments of Ontario and Canada for the mismanagement of the lands and monies that they were to be keeping in trust for the community. Bomberry said the next step is amending the Six Nations Statement of Claim that the Haldimand Tract is in fact a treaty, but which is being challenged by Ontario, Canada, and to some degree, the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation.
We'll be amending our Statement of Claim to make it more clear that the Haldimand Treaty created a reserve. And although, you know, our position is that we shouldn't have to do this, but because it's pretty obvious that what happened with the Haldimand Proclamation is it did create a reserve. It set aside a big tract of land for the Six Nations, which is a classic definition of a reserve. But you know, the Crowns are saying no. First of all, they're contesting the fact whether it was a treaty, and in fact, if it wasn't a treaty, then it didn't create a reserve. So all of these arguments are, that's their position. So even though, you know, our position, it was clear from when we first filed a statement of claim that that was the effect of the Haldimand Proclamation. Nobody's contested up until this point. It's just that they're pulling. We just want to make it more clear that this is what it's all about. And even though it's been understood to be that way for years and years, so that they can't argue that, oh, you didn't say that in your statement of claim, when in fact it's been there by implication, it's been there by all the facts that we've alleged, it's borne out by the evidence. So we don't have any problem with that, even if the amendment didn't go through. But we just want to be more certain about things in the lawsuit.
Again, you know, this is a litigation, and as it's been pointed out, it's not about even the reserve or the title. It's about what happened to the lands, what happened to the money.
Right.
So even in regard to it being a reserve or not, is there an argument to say you still mismanaged the lands, you still mismanaged the money?
No argument there. I think that's pretty clear. It was always treated as Six Nations land. Mm. They couldn't use it unless they got proper surrenders, and they never did get proper surrenders, so they knew that. And the money that we generated from any land sales, they insisted on controlling it. Mm. And so when there was fraud and abuse and the loss of all those funds, they, as trustees, are responsible, and they can't really get away from that. They'll never be able to get away from that, because that's what our case is all about. We once had all this land and money. We don't have it anymore.
At least in their trust, right?
Yeah.
In their care.
So account for it. Why don't we have it? And when you can't, then, you know, you owe us for it, for all the losses.
Now, speaking of that, is there any reference in any that you're aware of in these documents of wanting to have control that the Mississaugas are ever mentioned of, you know, oh, this is actually their land, or is it not?
No, not after 1784, there is no mention of Mississaugas at all. So just strictly our history just deals with Six Nations and the whole Haldimand Track, nothing beyond that.
On Friday, May 12th, it was the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation opportunity to express why they are intervening. In its intervention presentation, Mississauga of the Credit First Nation lawyer Nuri Frame explained that the Mississauga supports Six Nations litigation against the Ontario and Canadian governments for its mishandling of funds and lands, as well as to receive compensation from them. He went on to say that they agree this litigation is not about Aboriginal title or rights, but then he explained that it appears to be a litigation about everything but title and rights. According to the Mississaugas, they believe the litigation poses a serious threat to its own territory, treaties, and rights. In addition, the Mississauga lawyer added that the Mississauga intervention would not add years to the case, and that they have genuine and direct interest in the case, and added that the Mississauga are the sole Indigenous people in the case with treaties. Plus, he said that the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation were not duped, followed blindly, or were in cahoots with the Ontario government as part of its intervention, but that they were deeply alarmed by what the parties had now brought forward in the case. CKRZ reached out to Mr. Frame, the Mississauga of the Credit First Nation lawyer, for a comment, but he declined. Ontario's lawyer, David Tortilla, had an opportunity to respond to what the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation lawyer presented and said that the idea that Ontario was meddling or a puppet master leading the Mississauga in the intervention is untrue, and that Ontario somehow engineered the intervention with the Mississaugas are serious allegations and inappropriate. When Canada's lawyer Katrina Longo had a chance to respond to the interventions, she said that the plaintiff's new motion of limiting issues with interveners should not apply because the issues have not yet been finalized in the case. CKRZ also reached out to both Ontario and Canada's lawyers for a comment, but they also declined. But CKRZ did get a comment after the proceedings from Lands and Research Director Lonnie Bomberry on if he was aware of everything that the Mississaugas were going to present in the courtroom.
I had some inkling of what they were going to be asking for, and just in communications with our lawyers over the last couple of days, we were surprised that all of a sudden now they're challenging the fact that the Haldimand Proclamation created a treaty, which is more in line with what the Crowns are saying. So in a sense, they're kind of joined up with the Crown in opposing a portion of what we're asking for, because by saying that the Haldimand Proclamation is a treaty and also created a reserve is what we're saying, and we're going to amending our pleadings to make that more clear. But we've been saying it all along that these lands are a reserve. They were reserved for the Six Nations, and when it becomes a reserve, it creates fiduciary duties that really binds the Crown and makes them more liable than anything. So I kind of didn't like that point, but it's already an issue anyway with the Crown. So if they want to join in with them and argue that it's not it wasn't a treaty, we're fairly prepared to argue that whether it's by being made by the Mississaugas or by Ontario and Canada, which it is. It is essentially saying they're saying it is not a treaty.
We also asked Mr. Bomberry what he knew about the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation water case that was brought up during the intervention proceedings.
Well, they're claiming that they might have surrendered all the other lands, but they never specifically surrendered the rivers and the creeks and lakes. We've heard about that. We understand the case in abeyance now. And we'll have to consider that. The council's going to have to consider that in light of what's going on here in their intervention motions, whether, we should think about intervening in that case. So that is something that will be considered down the road.
Mm. Now, depending, of course, on how and what the judge decides on this, there is, of course, a chance that any of the interveners could choose to want to take this further and challenge the court on their decision, right?
Right. Well, there's always that possibility they can appeal, and it can be heard by a higher court, in this case the Ontario Court of Appeal. But we'll just see what the results are. I know we're expected to get a lot of these results with respect to the HDI and the Mississauga claim before the summer's out, before the judges take their summer recess. So we should be knowing something fairly soon.
With the intervention hearings now complete, Justice Acbarelli, the judge on the case, ended the session by saying her decision shouldn't take too long. However, once her decision is reached, the interveners could challenge the decision with an appeal. CKRZ asked Six Nations lawyer Robert James and Land and Research Director Lonnie Bomberry that very question after the proceedings.
So what would happen from here, likely, depending on what she does, and it's hard to predict exactly what she'll do, is, to any interveners who lose, or anybody who loses, they have the right to ask an appeal court to hear about it, and that could happen, but that's going to entirely depend upon what the judge says. And then likely the next thing that will happen is once she delivers her judgment, she'll get all the lawyers together again and she'll have what we call a case management conference and start setting out deadlines and schedules and you know, and you know, obviously, for most people, they're going to be concerned about how to move this case along, whatever she decides, right? Like, it's obviously a major focus for all parties is to get this case heard.
Yeah. Now, in terms of that, we were hoping, and it was said that it was going to go to court in 2024. From what you've heard, does this shed any light in terms of how that might reflect in terms of moving forward?
We are still pushing hard for 2024 and hope that whatever the judge does, she will keep the guardrails in place that will make that happen. But as always, the courts move at their own pace. And I think as you heard in the first day of the hearing, there is a real problem with judges' shortages, and the government could do a lot to make things move quickly by appointing more judges for the spots that are available.
There's always that possibility they can appeal, and it can be heard by a higher court, in this case the Ontario Court of Appeal. But we'll just see what the results are. I know we're expected to get a lot of these results with respect to the HDI and the Mississauga claim before the summer's out, before the judges take their summer recess. So we should be knowing something fairly soon.
Court could resume in late summer or early fall once Judge Acbarelli reaches her decision. If you would like more information, you can go to the Six Nations of the Grand River Litigation page at snlitigation.com. I'm David Moses, and you've been listening to Compelling Conversations right here on CKRZ 100.3 FM, the voice of the Grand. Until next time, I say Ona and Bamapi.